Fellow auto detailers, welcome to the show that features interviews with today's most successful auto detailers. This is the Auto Detailing Podcast. Here's your host, Jimbo Balaam.
What's going on, everyone? Welcome to episode 301 of the Auto Detailing Podcast. 301. I'm still kind of reeling from episode 300 of last week, but I definitely wanted to keep the momentum going. So this week, I brought on two guys, and we talk about how they're selling $4,000 coatings. And we also touch, if you're an enthusiast or you're a DIYer who would never really install a professional-grade coating on your car, we do talk about some... I really want to hit that enthusiast market a little bit heavier than I have been. So we actually talk about some benefits to coatings and why you may have a professional install a professional grade coating onto your car. So this is a really, really cool episode. And if you are an enthusiast or a DIYer, I have the I have a perfect set of microfiber towels for you. And in fact, it's called the Jimbo Kit, so you don't forget what it's called. And it's through autofiber.com. I've teamed up with them, kind of went through their whole selection, handpicked towels. If you're interested at all, or even just interested in seeing what these towels are about, you can head over to autofiber.com and go under kits, and you'll see the Jimbo Kit. It's usually about the first one right there, along with some reviews. Or I just did an entire video over on my YouTube channel, and I go through every single towel in the kit and then what it's used for. So the Jimbo Kit from autofiber.com is definitely one that I recommend. We're actually in the process of working on a giveaway to give a couple kits away, teamed up with a very special liquid company, and a new startup liquid company. So hopefully that pans out. I'm not going to say who yet because... well, we haven't finalized the deal, but we're going to be working on a giveaway coming here in the next couple weeks. But in the meantime, if you want to check it out, autofiber.com or my website, my YouTube channel, sorry. And if you land on autofiber.com and see something that you just can't live without, make sure to use my code Jimbo. That's code Jimbo at autofiber.com. It's going to save you 20% and you're going to get free shipping on your entire order. So that's huge. So use code Jimbo, save yourself some dough, and the offer code. By using the offer code, it helps us track where the sales are going. So I appreciate you guys. And here we go. Episode 301 with Rob and Travis. All right. Welcome to episode 301. I'm keeping the steam going. I brought in two guys today, super excited. One who's been on the podcast at least once, one who's never been on the podcast, and they're actually tag teaming some work together, and we got a whole host of stuff to talk about today. So we have Travis McNutt and Rob Craven on the phone, I guess, but on the podcast. So Travis, why don't we start with you? Welcome back to the podcast. And for those people that didn't hear your previous podcast, can you give us a little synopsis of who you are and kind of what you do?
First off, I like the word synopsis. Anyway,
I try to act smarter than I really am. I almost didn't risk it by going for that word because I was worried I couldn't spit it out. But that's how that goes.
Nailed it. Nailed it. So I live in Dallas. I have a detail company. I started out doing mobile details, and now I primarily work out of a shop doing correction and coatings. I travel to Amarillo, which is my hometown. That's 350 miles from me north. And then, like, right now I'm in Houston, which is about 3.5 hours south of Dallas. And so right now I'm having a lot of success just traveling around to different places where I know people, and that's kind of through some different marketing techniques, but traveling around, correcting cars, networking, meeting up with other detailers. I just got certified with Ceramic Pro about 2 months ago, and so I started out with C-Quartz, then I started using Crystal Serum Light, and then moved on to Ceramic Pro, and we can get into some of that stuff later, but really liking that, and it's really opened up a whole new market for me, and so yeah, that's where I'm at.
And if people are wondering about that, kind of Travis's marketing techniques, we really went in depth on one of the previous episodes you were on, Travis, and really it was a guerrilla marketing tactic that really was paying off for you. So I would definitely encourage people to go back and check that out. on the previous episodes. Rob, let's hop on over to you. Since you've never been on the show, maybe take a little bit longer than Travis just did, but tell us what you do, where you're at, and what you got going on.
Yeah, so thanks for having me on the podcast, Jimbo. I'm in Houston. I've been detailing full-time now for 5 years. Just like Travis, I started off mobile. I just had one mobile rig. I actually gutted out a Volkswagen Golf and then built a skid, put a pressure washer, 50-gallon water tank, and loaded up with some detailing supplies and started a little business. About a year into it, I branched out and got another vehicle, had another employee, was pretty much running the Houston market mobily when it came to professional detailing as opposed to your normal, you know, $15 car wash place, and really diving into that market. But after doing that market for about two and a half years, I got my own shop and started going some more into the paint correction and coating. That's when I got on with the IDA, went to a couple training classes, one in Boston, a couple in Dallas, just to hone my skills and try to learn as much as I can. Started out with C-Quartz too. I think everybody should start out with a base level coating instead of trying to jump into the pro grade. And then now I've been on with Ceramic Pro for about a year and a half, maybe 2 years, and love it. I've pretty much gone away from the mobile. I still do a little bit. I contract out to other local mobile detailers that I trust and, you know, just get an average of $20 to $30 on top of that. But most of it is just making sure my clients are taken care of that I had previously. But it's not really a part of our business anymore. We're mainly just correction and coding.
Do you still have that employee helping you at the shop, or is he still out mobile or not with you anymore? Are you solo in the shop?
As of right now, I am solo, which, you know, kind of brings me and Travis together doing these jobs now. I got tired of the turnover rate with detailers.
Yeah.
A lot of people come in and they, you know, think they're going to work on a Ferrari every day or have washed their cars all the time and think that it's awesome, but they're not doing it for work. And then after 2, 3, 4 months where they realize, oh man, this isn't fun, they leave.
100%.
You know, I think it's fun.
Yes. And yeah, that's the problem. The people that really love it, they have their own
business. Right.
That's a whole nother can of worms that I have a lot to talk about. Just, there's so many egos in detailing that there's no one big, huge detail place because everybody wants to kind of have their own thing.
Yep.
But
that's
pretty much my story. Like I said, we're in Houston and specialize in the corrections and coding.
Nice. So what brought, and I'll let either one of you kind of handle this one, or maybe you both want to, but what brought you guys together? How did you, because speaking, Rob, to your point of egos, a lot of times egos get in the way and guys don't want to network with each other, even though you're 3.5 hours away from each other, not really even working the same market. When it comes like to something like coatings, maybe you start those markets start to blend a little bit more as people are more willing to travel, especially
right.
spending more money. But you know, how did you guys come together and how did you make sure egos weren't in the way?
Travis, you want me to take this one?
Go for it, brother.
Actually, because the way I became friends with Travis was through the Detailing Podcast.
Yes.
I heard his episodes talking about marketing and stuff like that. I seen that he was in Texas. I looked him up on Facebook and been following him ever since. And you see the work that they put out, and you kind of see, oh, we're kind of on the same skill level. So that's someone that I would work with. And then one thing led to another, and he said he had a job in Houston. So he came down. We took care of that one. I had a couple more flow through, and it's so much easier working with another trained professional as opposed to having a helper, having to go behind them, double check their work, basically just micromanaging all the time, as opposed to another seasoned detailer, you know, is going to take care of his work. Yes, do we still go over each other's work? Yes, we do, but it's not as intense, if that kind of makes sense.
Definitely does.
But from just to have a second perspective, to like, worry if they're doing it correctly, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
And I do this often. If I have jobs in other states or cities, then I'll just find through social media a detailer there and reach out to him and Rob and I were friends. I knew he was in Houston, so I reached out to him. And this car was actually a car. I met a lady at a car show that we did called We Are Mopar that was 1,800 registered Mopars. We took, I think, 16 ceramic-coated cars to the show. We had cars and all the several different other vendor areas and booths. And so it was a lot of fun, but I met a lot of people. And this job came from that, and it just continues to snowball. But like in Dallas, I work out of Lone Star Automotive, and the guy there has a bunch of cars, and I just work on his cars, and he lets me work out of his shop. You know, he's got a full set of tools and lifts and everything you could possibly imagine, and it even offers me the opportunity to sell those additional automotive services and take a commission off the top just by being at his shop and vice versa.
That's awesome.
I do the same thing in Amarillo. I work out of a guy who does PDR and window tinting. And so I would just work on his stuff. And every time I'm in town, I'm always able to sell PDR and tent jobs just through networking. And so literally every shop I have, I don't pay a penny for. I just sacrifice my time, essentially. I did that with all my photography. I just had a bunch of professional photos taken and bunch of videography. I traded out these guys that had nice cars. They all had Hellcats and stuff, so I traded them out work, and they put me together like promotional videos and professional photography. And one of them, even me, you and I were talking about this on an off podcast conversation, but networking with people that have big followings on YouTube. So I did a video with Kevin Van Voorhis. And he's got, I think, like 15,000 subscribers, but he did a bunch of video plugs for me. And so I didn't really see much pickup from that, but it was cool just having the videos. I can send them to my clients. It just kind of adds fluff. But I didn't pay a dime for any of that stuff. All I did was just sacrifice my time and skill set.
Right. And that's what I love, kind of, and I'm excited to bring you guys on the show, even both together. I think it's cool because you're really, I feel like you're on the cutting edge of kind of newer marketing techniques to get these higher end jobs, right? And I think that's when that's been something that is exciting about the internet just in general and stuff like podcasts and whatever coming about is you can learn from guys like you and get creative with how to grow your business instead of the kind of standard way that everyone's done it in the past. And so everyone tries to fit that mold, whether it's like, you know, dropping business cards on windshields or direct mail flyers or all these other stuff that can work. But there's also this whole other avenue of marketing tips that can work. Travis, like we've talked about before, and then now bringing Rob in and Rob bringing you in and kind of networking together with other detailers. I feel like that's something that we didn't see in the past with detailers. It was always like, hey, I got my stuff going on over here. You got your stuff going on over there. As long as you don't come over here, we're good. You know? And it's like, wow, you could be, you know, quadruple as profitable if you actually include other detailers in. And I was telling you guys, you know, just from an efficiency standpoint too and profitability standpoint, I started bringing in another guy around me that owns his own detailing business. And I've had the same kind of thought on it of like, wow, I don't have to micromanage him. He knows what good looks like. He knows what perfect looks like. He can do it. He's capable, and there's money in it for him, you know, more money than an hourly wage too, you know? So I actually like that. And in California with this like California car wash bond or whatever, I don't have to worry about it because it's his own business. He's not an employee. You know what I mean?
Right. And not only that, you know, the time saving is the actual saving on your body. I mean, as detailers, 100%. We know it is tiring. So if you only have to do half the car, you're saving that on your body. So you're not, your back's not hurting as much. You know, little things like that, they add up. So yeah, you may have, you know, not have made as much money as you could have, but one, you did it in half the amount of the time. You don't have to go back behind somebody. And you actually saved your body. So I think it's all win-win situations. The only problem
that doesn't work whenever you have whenever you stack up five cars, they may take half the time, but you still have to work 14 hours a day to get them all done. That is true.
That's a whole nother conversation, right? When you get too busy.
But as far as one car, it takes half the time.
Right, right. Yeah. Imagine doing 14 cars by yourself. Uh-huh. You know, that would be rough. So how are you guys doing these? How are you, maybe Rob will let you kind of lead this one. How have you, because Travis, we've heard a lot about your marketing techniques, but you, Rob, you talked about transitioning. You started out mobile out of a Volkswagen Golf, which I think is amazing. And talk about similarities. Travis starting out of the G37. That's cool. But how did you transition from, were you doing mainly like maintenance details out of that? And if you were, how did you transition out of that when you got a shop? Was that difficult or was the demand just there?
It wasn't difficult at first because I had two trusting employees and then a halfway helper. And so I was able to mainly do the corrections. I was actually, I partnered up with somebody. I had a corner in their shop and was just banging out details, paint corrections inside there. And I would have the other two guys out doing maintenance detailing. I'm not a big fan of paint corrections in Texas outside. It's way too hot, way too humid, a lot of stuff. I mean, there's situations where you can fix that, but I only do paint corrections mainly inside.
This is the first time I've ever done inside in the air conditioning, and it's like a paradise. But I completely agree. It totally, having surface control is what I call it. But you're able to maintain surface control through the whole process versus working outside or in a shop with all the doors open and stuff like that. You're constantly fighting having a controlled environment on the surface so that you're not working against yourself. But anyway, keep rolling.
Exactly. And dust and all that. It's just nuts outside. But once I lost those employees and then the demand for the mobile still kept up for a while, I was doing both and I was literally running myself in the ground. I do not recommend that to anybody just because it's hard. Especially here in Houston, we have a very big population.
I do recommend it because you have to do it. It's hard to be able to make shit happen. If nobody did anything that wasn't hard, then they wouldn't get anywhere. So I think take into consideration what Rob's saying, prepare yourself, but at the same time, know that it's going to be hard. You got to work your ass off to get to a place of success. You know, it's not easy.
Oh, yeah.
Not everybody can do it, and it's the hard workers that get it done. So, sorry, I didn't mean to.
No, I agree with that. I guess I was kind of downplaying that aspect of it because everybody knows it's hard. Well, some people do. The others kind of weed themselves out. But whenever I realized, hey, paint correction and coating is really where I wanted to be, I kind of just did away with the mobile and just contracted it out to other local detailers like I was talking about earlier. And then brought the correction to my shop. So I got my own shop at that point. And then literally just started turning down, I don't know how the best way to describe it.
Just saying you couldn't do
somebody calling, hey, I want to get it in today. Can I do this? Can I do that? And I would like try to do it and do my correction. And they wouldn't coerce. It's just hard, in my opinion, to go from washing a car to paint correcting. And then, of course, we have all the other stuff we got to deal with as business owners, the phones and all that stuff. So I just did away with it. Like I said, I contracted it out and went full throttle into correction and coating. And then slowly raising my prices. And yes, most of my customers were not happy with that. But a lot of them, the ones that really respected my work, were like, yeah, Rob, I totally understand that. And just after having a couple people tell me they understood it, it totally changed my mind. And then I also talked with a couple detailers here in Houston that are basically top notch. I mean, some of the best in the country. And talking with them, and you know, they say sell your service. And even Travis, me and him have been talking about this the past couple of days. Sell your service. Undercut yourself. This stuff is hard. It's laboring. It's not, you know, just doing a base wash.
Right.
It literally takes time. And once I started doing that, it hasn't been a problem. I mean, really, it sounds like it is. It's just you kind of have to learn to say no to be able to get better jobs, in my opinion.
Travis,
if that's your business model, though.
Right.
I mean,
great
it all
point.
Depends on what your business model is. There's a big market for automatic car washes. There's a big market for regular mobile detailing, and there's a big market for paint correction. It just depends, you know, how you're going to do it, in my opinion.
And I think that's the punchline, right? Of like, and I think that's where people get stuck in the middle is like they're not sure what they want to do, right? And then the barrier to entry for detailing and the quick cash can come so fast, even though it's not always a lot. But then it's like it also starts killing you because the quick cash is the low hanging fruit, right? So it's easy to get, but that's the most competitive, right? Because it's.
But I think everybody should start there because everything that
it's like cutting your teeth, right?
Well, I'm just more or less saying that once you get to a point where you're doing correction and coatings, your knowledge is compounded from the bottom. You know, I think
right. There
was a ton of value in me detailing 1,000 soccer moms' cars before I started correcting paint because it educated me in so many things about cleaning vehicles in general that it just prepared me more adequately to be ready to further my knowledge or further my skill set.
And I think it
one more quick thing.
Go ahead.
Another thing that I actually did to kind of see where the market was when I was doing mobile detailing, I actually called out a mobile detailer that I knew nothing about and had them wash my truck. And when I walked out, unfortunately, I had one of my Ceramic Pro shirts on. So then he knew that I was a detailer. So I was like, oh, well, he's going to do a real good job. I'm not going to get a good estimate. And I watched him from my window wash my truck, and he did so much stuff wrong. And then I realized this is why it's only $40. You know,
right. This
is why this is what you're paying for. So in return, when somebody would call me asking for a mobile detail or a good detail, oh, well, somebody down the road's going to do it for $40. Well, they might not do the proper procedures. They might may not take care of your vehicle the way that I'm going to take care of your vehicle and make sure that it looks better than before as opposed to. I mean, I saw this guy go from my paint to my wheels to my tires back to my paint. It was just all over the place.
That didn't give you anxiety like that? Because I've thought about that of, like, having other people – you know, like do the maintenance stuff on my cars. And it gives me anxiety because I'm like, if I watch them from the window, like, or even just taking it to the car wash, right? Like, oh, I'll just run through the car wash, no big deal. Like, I'm out of time, whatever. And then I think about all the work that it would take to fix all the mistakes. And I'm like, never mind. I'll just do it myself. It didn't give you anxiety to do that?
I was actually pacing. Okay. I was pacing back and forth in the house. And my wife was like, go out there and just tell them to stop and give them your $40. I was like, no, they just started. I want to see this. I want to see it. And I'm actually about to wreck the truck. So I didn't care.
Oh, okay.
It's coded and all that stuff.
Got it.
I was like, they ain't going to mess it up. But the funny part about that was whenever I came out, he offered to do my wife's Jeep when my Jeep is like our baby. And I was like, no, it's fine, you know. And then he said, here's another problem. For one, he's only coming out for a $40 detail.
Right.
There's not really that much profit in that whenever he was pulling a truck, a trailer, and had a helper. Ugh. He then, after washing my truck, told me his vacuum was broke and he couldn't vacuum my truck. Well, I had just vacuumed my truck the day before that, and there was only a little bit in the driver's side. Nothing else was fine. He could have brushed that out, problem solved, as we detailers have to do.
Right.
But instead, he took $15 off his bill,
off my bill.
So I was like, and I even told him, I'm like, no, I can't do that. I said, look, and I showed him what to do. I was like, look, that's all you had to do. You just gained $15, and it took me 10 seconds.
Right.
But as opposed to problem solving, a lot of detailers just want to just take something off. And that in return, I think, just puts a bad taste in the mouth of the customer about your business.
Mm-hmm. And I think that Travis's point, that's why it's good to do the soccer mom bands and to kind of start at the bottom and work your way up, because then, like, that guy will never forget that, right? And so though he may have lost 15 bucks that time, hopefully he learned from it and then gained many more dollars next time, right? And hopefully it was just part of the learning process. But it's like, if you don't cut your teeth on that kind of stuff, you don't you don't learn, you don't grow, you know, and that, to Travis's point, that can hurt you when you get to the level that you guys are at, you know, I think.
And then back to egos, he was, whenever I told him this stuff, he was, I could tell by the look in his face, he was taking like I was trying to downgrade his work, and I was really just trying to help him out,
right.
You know, and it goes back to egos. It goes back to egos. So.
Ego is the enemy, right, Travis?
Yeah, man, I don't have an ego. I don't let anybody else's ego affect me in any way either. You know what I mean? You're
right.
Not going to get in my head with your bad attitude.
Right. So how...
But,
go ahead, sorry.
Go ahead.
No, go for
no,
it.
No, I don't... I was going to probably talk about, like, point-of-sale stuff, but we can talk about that at any point.
No, no, no. I think that's good. Else. That's kind of where I was going to go, too, of, like, you know, how... How are you? Do you guys care to share numbers about how much the car, initial car that I think it was the blue Charger that you guys teamed up on? What's
that? It's a $4,000 job.
Okay.
So,
and what is that including?
So we did a two-step correction. We did pulled the wheels off, cleaned the fender wells, all the suspension, and coated all that with Ceramic Pro plastic. We put Ceramic Pro, I'm not going to say Ceramic Pro every time, but
okay.
We did the wheel and calipers, we did the barrels of the wheels.
They're not really sending me a check either, so I would just, I'm just kidding.
Me
I'm
either.
Joking. I'm joking.
it's
like that commercial that's like,
curl.
Ceramic Pro this, Ceramic Pro that, and then we put Ceramic Pro here and Ceramic Pro there. I'm joking.
Yeah, absolutely.
Keep going. We get it. We follow. I'm following.
I'm more for that side of it. I'm more so the value of me, my skill set, and my craftsmanship work. The ceramic just protects that.
100%.
Anyway,
gotcha.
So we do the black pearl on the tires. It's a couple layers, so they stay glossy for a year. We do all the exterior glass, plastic, windshield wiper cowl. We did all the headlights, tail lights, plastic trim. You know, the entire exterior of the surface is done, or the vehicle's done, all the trunk jams, the plastic in the trunk, the hood jams, the hood brackets, the hood weather stripping, all the intake manifolds, the plastic, the reservoirs. Then we opened the doors, we coated the door jams, the door hinges, seals, weather stripping, door panels, seats, carpet, leather, dash console, everything. So basically, this entire vehicle is coated top to bottom, other than the undercarriage. Probably, we did it in 3 days, but between the two of us, probably like 50 hours of work.
Wow.
And then there's another, we have another Raptor pickup. It's brand new, just came off the showroom floor. So it's the same amount, 4,000. Not quite as extensive, like door jams, motor. Whether we'll do the interior paint, wheels, barrels, fender wells, and so.
and to get to that $4,000, you know, price tag, how is there like sticker shock when someone obvious, you know, sticker shock when the client sees that? Obviously, you're just not hitting them with the number up front. You're hitting them, like you said, probably with all the value and everything that you're going to do and kind of the price comes after, but, you know, how are you selling that? You know, how are you doing
it's
that?
It's just about, I think there's, for detailers, you should learn the sales process and like the process of a call and know when the customer is asking buying questions and be aware and know how to handle objections and know how to ask questions that are going to give you information so that you know which way to take the conversation. But say I take a call and I just Scott, and he's got a Hellcat and he wants to get it done. Okay, Scott, well, have you heard anything about ceramic coatings? And then yes or no, and then I start from there. Okay, well, I also ask, whenever you look at the paint, do you see swirls? I mean, we all know they're there.
Mm-hmm.
But whenever you personally look at it, do you see swirls? And they may say yes or no. And those are just things that qualify in your mind the expectations of the client and how much work you'll have to put into it if they're if they are like, yes, it has a ton of swirls, I want them gone, then it's just good qualifying questions. I ask what kind of car it is, blah, 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 and then I'll go into ceramic coatings. Is this a nano ceramic glass? It's actually like a glass resin that creates a new sacrificial layer over any surface that you coat. So we go through the entire car, and any surface that we're going to coat, we do a correction, and we try to restore it back to the as new, if not better than new, condition, because whenever we apply the ceramic coating, it's going to lock it in to that state for whatever amount of time the coating is rated for. And so we have a coating that's surface-specific for everything on the vehicle. We can do your glass, we can do your wheels, and I'll kind of roll through all that stuff. We even go as far as to pull the wheels off and do the barrels, the fender wells, the calipers, so we can really go through and do a service on your vehicle that's going to keep it looking as new as possible for probably the length of time that you own the vehicle. It's going to be easier to clean. It's going to stay cleaner longer. You're not going to have as much deterioration on the surfaces as you would, because they do have that new sacrificial layer over the top. And even if you do take some damage and beating and something happens to it, then the coating is easier to go back and correct and reapply instead of actually causing damage to the finish of your vehicle. So, you know, and usually you're getting feedback through the entire conversation. You know, they're either asking more questions or they're not. But I always start at the top. You know, I try to sell everybody a $3,500 package. Mm-hmm. That way, if they get a, you know, my basic details are pretty expensive because I like to use ceramic sealants and I like to do everything with high quality products, you know. So I just explain to them, look, it's different. This is what makes me different from the other guy, and that's why I charge this. You know, if they want it done right then, I always say, well, do you want it done right or do you want it done right now? Because a lot of times there's not value in right now if you're going to be damaging the car. And I think that you find a lot of value if you're willing to wait a week and letting me do it. You'll never regret it. I've never had a customer regret, you know, waiting a couple extra days and having me do a disservice, because it's so much better and so much different than anything they can get on a corner store, you know. And they can't really argue it. I mean, you just have to put it back to them in a way that's really hard for them to say no or whatever. And then even whenever I get the car, like say I sell them on a bronze coating or something, I can, once I have the car, I always send progress photos and videos, and I keep the client engaged in the process. And I'm like, man, it sure would look nice to do this. And then I'll send them a picture of that service that's already been done on another vehicle, and maybe I'll discount it at that point, because once I've already got the vehicle in, I'm already doing everything else to it. To do that one more thing, I can get, you know, a couple $100 on the bottom end, and it doesn't really cost me much time and energy product to do it. Or if somebody wants a silver package, which is a 5-year package, but they're not happy at the price point, mine's $1,600 for silver, then I'll throw in and say, like, well, how about I'll do your seats, or I'll do your carpet, or I'll pull the wheels off and do the barrels. I'll give you a $300 to $500 additional service, but I can't come under $1,600 for this service. You know, I just try to build more value. If anybody's telling you no, you haven't built enough value in the process, and you as a subject matter expert and the service that you're going to perform, or they just don't want the work done, because they're going to do it with somebody else. The only reason they don't do it with you is because you haven't built enough value in yourself for them to believe that they need to do it with you and that you're the only qualified person. And that's kind of always the direction that I move in my conversations. And I'll give them the information. I'll pitch them on a gold, and how does that sound?
Right.
And even if you do, you know, if you start them at $3,500, then even if you get them on a bronze at $1,300 doesn't sound like very much compared to $3,500 or $4,000.
Right. You're looking like an all-star still, you know.
And it establishes you as a subject matter expert. And like, dadgum, this person's getting this amount of money, then they probably most definitely should be worth $1,300.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But
Rob, how about you? I mean, Travis covered it pretty well. So if you got nothing, I understand.
Saying, he hit the nail on the head with that one. And that's like me and that, going back to bouncing ideas off each other, me and Travis have been talking, and I've been listening to some of the tactics that he uses just because they're different than mine. And you can always grab something from another detailer. So that's why I'm part of the IDA, and people are like, oh, I don't need to be part of the IDA. Nobody knows about it, all that stuff. You're right. Nobody knows about it. But a lot of detailers know about it, and you get to connect with those detailers and, you know, pick up something here, pick up something there, and you add it all in. It's good. That's where I think it's beneficial. But
it's a more structured way to network instead of
And as opposed to
direct attack.
Got it.
Yeah. And then as far as selling value on something so expensive, you do run into people that are like, oh, that's way out of my budget. I don't need to do that. You kind of build value because you don't maintain the vehicle afterwards. It's so much easier. So say you normally have to hire a detailer to come out once a month for, you know, $150 to wash your car or wax it or whatever. That's the amount of money you're going to save over those 5, 6, 7 years, 10 years, depending on which package that you get. And once people hear that, they're like, oh, I don't need to get a wax, or I don't need to get it sealed, and little stuff like that that help build value with the customer. But then back to my last point of just, you know, or not mine, but Travis's, just about selling the service and really catching their attention on the aftermath. You know, it's not going to be like any other detail that you got. It's not going to be, you're not going to be disappointed in 3 months. Again, here in Texas, it gets so hot that those waxes will melt and they will be gone. And then you're like, oh, I can't remember the last time I waxed my car. And then people just won't wax it. They'll just go get it washed and washed and washed and washed. And maybe a year later, they'll get it waxed. And at that point, it's too late. The paint's already trashed. But
I tell people I won't even wax. I don't wax. I'll tell people I won't wax your car. And it almost is another intriguing point. It draws them in. They're like, well, why not? And you can just tell what there's no point in waxing it. There's no value in it. I mean, there's so many other better products out there that offer better performance, better longevity, and they're easier to apply, which is going to cause less marring through the application process. And so I just, in the best interest of the vehicle to be able to protect it for a longer amount of time and keep it looking better, I just prefer to use sealant. And I just tell them, so. And they'll buy into that most of the time.
Yeah, and then I think I would think the hardest part is kind of just breaking through the first handful of clients that know that you don't wax cars, and then you become one, you stand out to be different, you know, and then after a period of time, you become that detailer that does the high-end luxury work or you know, oh, wow, this guy doesn't wax. He only, you know, he's looking out for my interest. He only does, you know, good stuff, you know, or whatever, you know, layman terms get thrown around.
A lot of it is just educating the customer and explaining to them, not like I was giving another guy a feedback on his website. And it was just like he had kind of like whenever I sent you my price list, whenever I was changing over companies and stuff. And I like to get feedback on that kind of stuff.
Totally.
But it was just all these different things, all these steps, you know, only me or only one of you two guys would know what the hell any of that stuff was. So the customers or the clients aren't going to read down through that. And if they do, they don't know what it means. And so everybody has a misperception about clay bar, you know, and what it does. And so I try to break down the different processes and what we're actually doing and why we do it that way, what the benefit is and how it serves a purpose through the future progress of the whatever service we're performing.
Right.
And then as they start to wrap their mind, you know, it gives them a visual picture. They start to wrap their mind around all the different things that you're doing. It becomes a lot more complex. You know, they start to understand why you charge more.
Mm-hmm. And again, you're selling
on
the value. Go ahead, Rob. Sorry.
And a lot of detailers are probably thinking in their head right now, like, yeah, right. My customers are never going to go for a $4,000 job. Well, maybe the customers that you have now, but as you progress, and like I said, all this depends on employees. So if you're a one-man shop or you got three or four, then you can do the base washes and all that and still paint correct. I didn't say that earlier. But as you become more and more known for paint correction and coating, your market totally changes, and people will start knowing. And then, say someone called and, oh, you're way too high. I don't love my car that much. I appreciate it, all the info that you gave me. Well, next time they're talking to Cindy down the street and she just has a brand new car, oh, hey, you need to call the A-team. They do all high-end work, and they really care about the vehicles. My vehicle was too far gone. I didn't want to pay the money, but yours is new, so you might want to get it done with them. That value adds a lot. And then going to car shows, like Travis was saying. I walk around with a roof light in the middle and just look at cars, and people will come up to me. Hey, what are you doing? Oh, you see those squirrels right there? Oh, yeah, I do see that. Let me go ahead and knock that out. Little stuff like that. And like I said, you can get them. You can get those clients. You just have to change the way you're thinking. And it goes back to how Travis says, sell your service. So sell that $4,000 detail. Don't sell it like a $100 detail. Like,
right.
Put some effort into it.
Right.
Jimbo, I told you I got those knockoffs of the scan grips, the Astros from Amazon.
Yep.
They're both half the price. Phenomenal. Changed my life. I mean, it makes the biggest difference in the world having that light.
Having a light that works.
I can't say that enough. A color match light. Yeah.
You got the color match lights, or you got the cheap ones?
Yeah, I got the cheap ones, but they are color match lights. They're 95, you know.
Okay, got it.
And scan grip is 98. So I think the difference is substantially marginal.
And what are they called again? I'm going to link it up in the show notes.
Astro is the brand. Killer. The panel light is
A S T R O. Okay.
A S T R O, and they're on Amazon. The handheld light is like $70.
Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And
The
panel light is $150, and they work freaking awesome.
Yeah, it's a game changer when you have good lights that show you what you're working with. You know what I mean? Especially for the type of work that you guys are doing. I mean, it's imperative that you can see the panel for what it is.
And they're also much more mobile. They're a lot smaller. You don't have to worry about moving around big light stand and all that stuff. I mean,
extension cords.
Yeah, wireless. I mean, we have extension cords all over with polishers. We don't need them with the lights, too. I mean, yeah.
So this is the Astro Pneumatic Tool, the 50 SL Sunlight, the CRI 97. That one, it kind of looks just like the scan grip.
Exactly.
Got it. I'll link it up in the show notes for people that are interested.
They're freaking awesome.
Cool, guys. Do you have any last I'll link those lights up in the show notes if anyone's interested, in case I didn't just say that. Anyway, do you guys have any last parting words that you'd like to say, or recommendations, or and also give out your social channels?
I am Texas Showshine, all one word, Texas Showshine, Instagram, Facebook, Snapchat. I do a lot of Snapchats. I interact with a lot of detailers on Snapchat just because they can ask me questions really quick, or they can ask me about different cars I'm working on. I think it's a whole nother podcast, but one of the things that I think is more important than learning how to code or sell coatings is correcting paint, and just some of the really game-changing techniques that I've adopted recently.
Can you give us one or two quickly?
Yeah. Work really, really clean. I literally blow my pad out after every single pass. Work small sections. Keep your arm speed slow. Change pads often. Don't move fast. You know, if you move slower and you give the compound or the polish time to break down underneath the pad, then it's just going to give you a better result. But I see a lot of guys that have a hard time keeping the pad flat on the panel, which no panel is flat, but there's a lot of technique into rolling the machine into the different corners and crevices of the cars. But work slow, work clean, make sure I clean my pad out every single pass. It makes a huge difference.
Every pass, not every panel, every pass.
Every single pass. Wow. I make a pass, I clean my pad. I make a pass, I clean my pad. And I mean, it just makes it that much better, because you're not if you got to think you're sanding, you're pulling clear coat into your pad. So if you do one pass, then you've pulled off a layer of clear coat into your pad.
So the defect's got to go somewhere.
Right.
Yeah.
True.
I mean,
good point.
So the cleaner you work, the more proficient your work will be. It may, you know, you may find efficiency through different other steps in the process.
Do you think in a roundabout
your proficiency?
Sorry.
Will be much better. Go ahead.
Yeah. Do you think in a roundabout way, by working slower, you're and doing stuff like that, you're actually working faster in the end?
Yes. Okay. Absolutely.
Cool.
Because I used my arm speed used to be pretty fast, but I'm much slower than anybody else I work with now, and I'm still just as fast making my way around the car, but I don't move the machine fast at all.
Got it. Cool. Love it. We could do a whole nother podcast on that. Rob, what about you?
Yeah.
Social media, Facebook, obviously Rob Craven. 18 Detail is my business page. On Instagram, I'm Detail Guy Rob. 18 Detail on there as well. I am on Snapchat as 18 Detail, something I'm just now working myself in, kind of new to the Snapchat.
Yep.
But if there's any advice that I can give to other detailers, it's, man, find somebody else that's on your level and pick their brain or above.
Yeah.
I mean, I know it's ego-driven, but maybe you're a mobile wash guy that wants to get into it. Man, go find that one guy that is killing it in your market and say, hey, man, I want to do this too. And they're either going to say no or yes. I was fortunate to have a lot of good people really come and show me some stuff, and vice versa, I'll show them. But I know most detailers watch YouTube videos and this and that, but actually interacting and seeing someone else work and kind of just taking a step back really helps out, and in my opinion, at least. You just kind of see how different people do stuff.
Mm-hmm. I love it. I think detailers networking together is the greatest thing ever. You know, and I think that hands down is going to help our industry tremendously, you know. So, well, I thank you guys for sharing your knowledge and letting us network together through a platform like a podcast. So I really, really appreciate you guys doing this today.
Hell yeah. 301, Jay Balaam.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Auto Detailing Podcast. Head on over to autodetailingpodcast.com for full show notes and links of everything that we've talked about today. And don't forget to check out our resources page for a direct link to all the products talked about not only on today's episode, but that I use in my day-to-day detail business. They have direct links so you can purchase and get free shipping right from that page. That's autodetailingpodcast.com. We'll see you on the next episode.